Live from Miami, Florida.
I am Linda.
And I am Bella.
And this is our podcast, Mostly Peaceful Latinas, where every week we will discuss current events, politics, pop culture,
and everything else related to the state of the clown world. Hello and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
And before we get started, don't forget to show us support by smashing that subscribe button and giving us a like on our content. Like always, we really appreciate all the support that you guys continuously show us and the growth that we continue to see. So thank you guys for that. And
with that being said,
another day
in the clown world. It's been about 2 weeks that we haven't been able to record and we missed it so much. Our amazing producer had COVID. So we stayed away from recording for a little bit. And with that being said, a lot of things have happened. And one of the first things that we want to bring up is the groomers, per usual, making the headlines. They can never stop. That's why Governor DeSantis has to literally intervene. And one of the first things that kind of caught our attention today was a leaked curriculum from Portland, Oregon schools, where they want to teach gender theory to kindergartens and elementary school students.
Very complex gender theory. Like, yeah. This isn't just pronouns here.
No.
Like, it's very graphic material that will actually show genitalia and refer to women. It's not women.
It's people with a vulva.
People with vulva or people with penises.
So it's called sexuality and exploring the infinite gender spectrum, because there's no limit to how many genders there is. Here is a graphic that I'll put on the screen. This came from Upward News, where it's what we were telling you earlier. It says person with a vulva, and it describes each body part. This is how they're trying to teach anatomy to first graders and kindergartens and second graders. They also talk about, you know, what they're trying to teach kids now is that there's no such thing as gender, that you're just assigned a gender at birth due to your anatomy.
Well, right? They're turning it into a social justice thing, right? So somehow, according to the Portland public school system, even the terminology of trans is racially motivated somehow. Right. So they want to start replacing the terminology of trans as two spirits.
Oh, wow.
In order to include indigenous people.
Right. They also said that the heterosexual system, it's an oppressive one, mostly obviously from white people. So
From colonizers. It actually says from the colonizers.
Right. So meaning that our entire existence prior to gender theory being a thing here ever, our entire existence since before Jesus, 10,000 years ago, is just obviously due to white people colonizing and making a structure for themselves only.
So
right?
Part of the lesson plan also goes on to say that typical gender roles of male and female were created by grown-ups in an effort to separate people into groups. So they're vilifying the idea. First of all, vilifying grown-ups. So now grown-ups are bad. Kids know more than grown-ups. Because they're really just buckets that they use in order to separate people. What they're trying to do is completely do away with genders. Yeah. The entire idea of male and female act as if though we're living in a time where that's no longer going to be relevant. You are either a, what is it that they call it? A birthing person.
Person with vulva, person with a penis.
What is it that they call breastfeeding now?
Chest feeding.
Chest feeding. We live in an upside down world where, I mean, at the rate that we're going in 10 years, the idea of gender would be obsolete.
Yeah. And this is, again, why I always tell my followers and people that listen, it's like, I don't have to agree with the dude from China or Russia or other so-called dictators, right, in oppressive countries to understand why it is that they have taken such a hard stance against Western liberalism. Because why would you want this penetrating your culture? Does that make sense?
No pun intended.
Right. Why would you want this to be part of your culture? You see what I mean? It's like, right, in Russia, they made the constitution What was it that they changed very recently that, you know, marriage is between a man and a woman, right? And they're pushing extremely hard against this LGBT ideology. It actually started in 2013 when Vladimir Putin banned all LGBT propaganda for children. And this was back in 2013. Obama gave him a lot of crap for that. And if you hear his explanation, it's a very rational one. And it was kind of like a warning for what was to come to the West, right? Maybe back then we didn't see it. We could have said, this guy is crazy. He just hates the LGBT community, hates gay people. But the reality is that everything that has been said, not just by him, by other leaders around the world who take a hard stance against, you know, Western ideals, is that it's going to destroy our culture. It's going to destroy our nation.
Right.
We're going to have a bunch of confused children. I mean, look at Gen Z. Have you ever looked at the bios of Gen Z? Pronouns. Almost everyone. Every single one of them has pronouns, right? It's kind of like they're making it like trendy. It's like fashion, right? TikTok and all these things. And so we're going to grow up in this society. And also that you have all these social justice warriors talking about you should use pronouns out of respect.
I saw a video today, and you know what? We'll actually play that now.
People that aren't like serial killers like Ted Bundy.
Does your mom say you have to be LGBT? No, I can choose what I want to be, but
Go ahead, keep talking. Say what you're saying.
My mom doesn't matter if I am gay or lesbian or any of that. She doesn't care. All she cares about is that I'm a part of it. And if I'm not a part of it, she'll try to convince me to join it.
What? Are you saying right now?
Fact.
That I would convince you to join what?
The LGBTQIA+ community.
In the video, mm-hmm. Basically, there's a mom, and she's got the camera turned on to both of her sons, and they're having a conversation about LGBTQ+, the LGBTQ+ community. And the son goes on to say, a small kid, must be around 7-8 years old, and he says, my mom doesn't care if I'm gay or I'm a lesbian. She just cares that I'm LGBT. And the mom's like, what are you saying? And he's like, the truth, that you want me to be LGBT. And then, of course, the video cuts automatically.
Oh, yes.
But that's where we are at. And realistically, we have no idea what the repercussions of this are going to be 10, 15 years down the line when you are already preparing. I mean, in this material in particular in Portland that's geared towards kindergarteners, we're talking about kids as young as 5, 6, 7 years old. They're learning that part of what they're teaching them is also that puberty blockers are supposed to be this super normal thing, that getting kids on puberty blockers, you know, when you hit puberty, if you really haven't decided what gender you want to be, then you can put a pause to that by taking puberty blockers. They also push for the double mastectomies. So these are things, when you hear the testimonies of people that have gone through these transitions and then go through the detransitions, it's heartbreaking. And we have no idea the kind of repercussions that this is going to have over a 10, 15 year period for an entire generation that's now being brainwashed into thinking that
gender is just a social norm and it doesn't exist.
Not so much about just gender. You know, I remember the idea when I was younger, Britney Spears was huge, right?
Right.
And I remember news breaking everywhere. It was like, did Britney get her boobs done? It's like, she's so young. Why would Britney get surgery? Same thing with Kylie Jenner. Why would Kylie Jenner get her lips done? So it's like, there's a basic societal understanding that kids getting plastic surgery sends the wrong message as far as to their own confidence with their own body, with how it is that they're built. The idea of a 16-year-old getting breast implants sounds completely ridiculous and will defend that it's like body positivity and you don't need that and all these other things. But on the same side of the other side of the token, we're pushing for double mastectomies for kindergartners.
Well, if you think about it, when you go to a plastic surgeon, like you can get a breast augmentation until you're 18 years old. Right. And it's like that for most plastic surgeries or anything else that you want to do as enhancements.
Cosmetics, right.
You can't. So the idea that children should begin to make these life-altering decisions in their teens or to stop their puberty is just insanity. And honestly, honest to God, like it's to me, it's medical malpractice. And I agree with the governors that are trying to pass legislation or the legislative branches in each state that are trying to pass these laws that are going to hold these medical examiners or doctors accountable for these surgeries. It should actually be the norm that you shouldn't be able to do that.
Absolutely. Period. And the kids should be protected. And then not that to lead to the other side of the conversation, which is this over-sexualizing of children will only inevitably lead to a desire or a push by the same radical left to accept and normalize pedophilia.
Right.
That's where we're headed.
That's literally where we're headed. I mean, you know, we briefly talk about the Weimar Republic because we can't talk about it, blah, blah, blah. It's not really taught in history. But the Weimar Republic, which was 1930s Germany, a very liberal, free society, there was actually like teen prostitution.
Right.
Like that was like normalized.
A children prostitution. And it
didn't start that way. It started with a snowball effect of just, well, this is acceptable. Then this is acceptable. Then you know what? If all these things are acceptable, then why not teen prostitutes? Because they can consent. So that's where we're headed. You know, speaking of groomers and speaking of all this sexualization, our friend Jamie, who's the founder.
Our friend Jamie, the founder. Yeah. Of Gays Against Groomers.
Yes. She's been all over the liberal media. They're attacking her so hard for what she's doing because apparently if you're a lesbian woman, you can't have your own opinion against the sexualization
and
of children.
A double minority. Jamie right. is a Jewish lesbian. And she's actually had an interview with Oan recently where she talks about how the ongoing joke around gay conservatives is that you have to come out twice. You come out first as gay and you come out second as a conservative, and that coming out as a conservative is now much harder than coming out as gay.
That's pretty much how most of our, I feel like, LGBT friends live. They live a pretty normal lifestyle. They don't let their sexuality or whatever preferences define their life, like who they are. And, you know, with Jamie and Gays Against Groomers, it's caught on fire. I mean, they even, I think, had a chapter like in Ireland, which recently got their account shut down on Twitter. I remember speaking to her about 2 weeks ago when she, I guess, started the coalition and, you know, telling people across the U.S., like, if you want to join, you know, submit your email, blah, blah, blah. And she had over like 500 emails and DMs that she had to go through. Her girlfriend was actually going to help her with that because there's a lot of people jumping on board and saying, hey, listen, I may be a lesbian or gay or even, you know, a transgender, but I do not agree with what the left is trying to do. So Jamie or Gays Against Groomer, their Instagram account, I think they have about 60,000 followers. They've been locked out from Twitter twice for 12 hours.
Right.
Twice. So and here's the thing. We know for a fact, and actually from experience, you know, that once Media Matters and the liberal media starts writing articles against you, attacking your movement or attacking your page or whatever, a lot of times this is to pressure the social media giants like Twitter to just completely ban you because you're a problem.
Correct.
So,
yeah, Media Matters is known to do these campaigns. And I think that one of the things that's really interesting and eye-opening to watch with what's happened with Jamie and the Gays Against Groomer page is that first day that it came up, it already became a problem. These left-wing, like, digital activists were, this is the next Libs of TikTok. This right. account is going to be a bigger problem than Libs of TikTok. And they started the attack on the account immediately. They called Jamie a Nazi. They're calling Jamie a neo-Nazi. She's a Jewish woman.
Right.
This is how far, the same way that they call us white supremacists. We're brown women.
You know what the best thing about this is, though? That those people online, those far left activists, are trying to obviously ruin her life. And the best part about it is that she works for a conservative.
So, good luck.
Good luck. Okay. Aside from the fact that she's our designer, she's actually the designer and has been my designer for my merch for the past 2 years. And she's just the one that helped us with our amazing merch for Far Right Latina Summer. So if you guys go to her, go, actually, it's on my website right now. So wakeupwithlinda.com. We have the merch is designed by Jamie from Gays Against Groomers. And I just want to read why she got locked out of Twitter. Okay.
Oh, I want to hear this.
Okay. So this was the tweet. This was last week. Damage people, damage people. The internet is a dangerous place for kids, especially when you have radical alphabet activists openly grooming them. Protect your children from these people at all costs. Hashtag Gates Against Groomers. And that's why she was locked out of Twitter.
So does Twitter have a new, are they doing anything against the word groomers like Reddit is, where they're blocking it?
I think that they haven't like officially announced that they were going to take action against everybody that said the word groomer, but they are, because she's not the first person that has been banned or suspended for a day or whatever for using that word. I know Reddit, right? Was it Reddit that completely got rid of it?
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're not a groomer, why do you care that we call groomers groomers? Like, no one is saying that the LGBT as a whole are groomers. We're saying that, especially in the media and politicians, do want to groom your children. Look at this curriculum for Portland. That is quite literally grooming, and they're fighting so hard. As a matter of fact,
this is extreme. This is,
right. As a matter of fact, real quick, just so you guys understand, a lot of people obviously say Florida is the freest state of the nation, Texas is the freest state of the nation. We know that even when there's state laws, municipalities, counties are going to try to do their same thing and go around whatever the governor or whatever legislation says to do whatever they want to do. It's actually happening here in Miami-Dade. Right. So Governor DeSantis signs the law, the so-called the Parental Rights to Education Bill, also known as Don't Say Gay. And as you guys know, it states that certain material should be away from kids up to the third grade. And it also, it's kind of like vague and says, or age appropriate, right? And so Miami-Dade School Board, they wanted to have certain books that talked about abortion, that talked about the Plan B, that talked about, you know, this infinite rainbow genders. And so what ended up happening was that our friends at CCDF, which is an organization that is fighting at the local level to hold politicians accountable, they go through these books that were going to be approved, or that were approved by the Miami-Dade School Board. And
because there should be a committee. So here's the thing.
There should be a
committee that's set up that apparently, from what I hear at the last school board meeting, hasn't been set up. And this committee is supposed to be made up, of course, of teachers and parents alike in order to
Sorry to interrupt you. It was set up because we did the podcast with Alex. What it was is that the people in that little committee, I think it's like 10 of them, or I forgot the number, are obviously like compromised, you know?
Got you.
It's like, so they pretty much said, like, this is okay. These books are okay.
That story that happened here in Miami-Dade is actually quite interesting, and nobody seems to care to talk about it, which is that the school board made a decision. They took a ruling, and they agreed that they were going to take the material off. They were going to pull the books from the lesson plans. Come back a week later, and they
have an emergency meeting. What it was is that there was a lot of media hits, New York Times, Washington Post, obviously local news.
Well, clearly.
The entire left-wing media establishment hits these, or you know, hits back and says, you know, Miami-Dade School Board is taking away the books. The books, quite literally, some of them were talking about terminating pregnancy to like 11th graders. Like, why do you need to know that? And their whole excuse was that, oh, they don't want to teach kids sexual education. It's like, no, we do want to teach kids sexual education. But that it's age appropriate.
And
right?
Starting with the fact that there's actually already Florida legislation that exists that says that Florida is a state that when they're teaching sex ed, they're supposed to prioritize abstinence.
Right.
Not
so
glorify abortion.
Right. So there's this entire blowout by the media. And so last Thursday, they have the Miami-Dade School Board says, we're going to have an emergency meeting to fight back and, I guess, re-vote on this decision. And they use something like about Robert's Rules of Law. I'm not going to get into it, but that's how they use like a loophole to try to get this item back into the floor.
Well, I don't know if you saw the clip where they take it back to the floor. they vote on it, mm-hmm. and then basically they recall your original vote, so the books were going to end up coming back. I think that now they're going to take away some of the chapters. Point of the matter is that the school board member who's the deciding factor that changes the original vote,
one vote,
Perla Tavares Hammond, who's a 26-year vet on the Miami-Dade County School Board, actually speaks out about what a rough week she's had since that decision was made because of the hate mail that she was receiving,
and the threats, but more importantly, specifically the threats.
In fact, let's play that clip because I think that it's important to listen to Perla.
It's been very difficult the last few days since last week. I certainly been disrespected. I've been threatened. But you know what is.
All right, so in this video, Perla's clearly saying that she was threatened. A woman who just last week voted to get rid of the books now changed her vote through intimidation.
Yeah.
And nothing is done.
Nothing
is
done.
And then they have the audacity to call us the extremists for just showing up and voicing concerns at school board meetings.
But this is also a problem with the right. Okay, so when the original vote, it was a 5-4 vote that the books had gotten banned. And I posted it on my story. I said, congratulations to the parents of Miami-Dade citizens, blah, blah, blah. I get all these DMs from people. Bunch of DMs. Oh, my God, that was a close call. I can't believe we have this many communists in the school board. And I'm like, dude, here's the problem. You guys aren't involved. You guys do not understand that some of these people, like Perla Tavares, have been on the same seat for 26 years.
And that are a direct correlation to the problem that we're seeing right now.
We get it that like it is a problem that we have four other people that think these books are age appropriate for, you know, 11th graders and 10th graders or 11 year olds and 10th year olds. But also nobody cares to hold these people accountable. Nobody cares to help the other candidates fundraise. Nobody cares to knock on doors. So you can't really complain if you're not part of the solution.
So I was I was talking to somebody on campaign, and the average cost of a candidate in order to be able to hire people to knock on doors in order to people to become familiar with their name to cover an entire territory is something like $20,000, and our side isn't as giving as the left is it comes to their causes, when it comes to supporting their candidates.
They do if it's like known people, because like Mara Flores has raised a lot of money. Marjorie Taylor Greene is one of the people that has raised the most amount of money.
But these are people that created their brands before they became supported by the GOP and the money, right? Because Myra, for example, is a powerhouse. You can't deny what it is that she's done. A woman, a minority woman flips a district that's been has been running under Democratic rule for the last 100 years. The media can't ignore something like that. Mm-hmm. And then when they give somebody like Myra a chance, you know, or I'm not even going to say the media, when the party gives somebody like Myra an opportunity to stand up as a character that represents conservative values, that's when they see the win. What's the problem? That there's plenty of people that have very strong America First traditional values like Myra, or people that would stand strong like Marjorie Taylor Greene. But the party itself, our party, doesn't support these people out of fear of what the left is going to say. Oh, well, the left is going to think that we're extreme, or the left is going to call us far right, or the left is going to call us Nazis, or whatever it is that they come up with, because they're always coming up with names. It holds them back from truly backing up candidates that would really represent.
And there's also a GOP establishment. So here in the Miami-Dade school board, there's about four seats or three seats that could be flipped. And two of them are actually backed. Two of the candidates are backed by DeSantis. They're backed by the GOP, and they have a lot of support. They've raised a good amount of money. There's another candidate for District 6. Her name is Sandra. I forgot her last
name. Sandra
Mazzuri. And she is running against a GOP establishment woman, Maritere, who's the cousin of Rep. Carlos Jimenez, who was the mayor of Miami-Dade. It's obviously the entire, you know, Cuban support of Miami-Dade. And so she's been left out in the cold. No GOP support, no support from Tallahassee, from the governor, from anybody, because she's running against a candidate who's a shitty person on the Miami-Dade school board. Like, she's just not good.
But she's establishment. But she's establishment, GOP.
So there's no support for her. It's really unfortunate, but that's what we call it, the unit party.
It is a unit party. You know, I was thinking about it today because I get so upset. There's really people that want to argue. Listen, I've been fighting the digital space just like Linda has for four or five years now. And yes, the information war is incredibly important, something that continues to lead. But until you haven't been on the ground fighting, you don't get to say how hard it is.
Right.
Because until you haven't had your livelihood threatened, until you haven't had your addresses doxed, your family doxed, people trying to ruin your life for absolutely no other reason than having a differing political opinion than you, you don't understand what this fight is about.
Right.
Because once you're down here, you realize you're not just up against Democrats. You're up against people in your own party Absolutely. As well, leading Absolutely. Opposition against you because the establishment wants to continue being the establishment. Mm-hmm. And then it goes back to the, oh, well, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't have right. any radical views when it comes to
and that's
know,
what
gender
we,
or, right. or when it comes to CRT or when it comes to literally anything, because God forbid that we piss off the left, a left that already hates us for everything that we stand on. Why our party continues to want to meet in the middle with a group of individuals that
Who hate
think
us.
That our ideology makes us evil is beyond me. We're never going to find a solution until we realize that these people don't want to coexist with
they
our
values. They
literally
want us in jail. They want they us in jail or worse. And it's not an exaggeration. I mean, we talked about it before, that the majority of the January 6th defendants, it was citizen journalists, anonymous Antifa account that were tracking down these individuals out of pure hate and spite for their beliefs and turning them to the FBI.
And they're so not just like, doing that to people that went into the Capitol. Like if they opened up those doors and people stepped in and they fell for that trap. Okay.
Right.
But we're talking about if you took a picture in Washington, D.C., nowhere near the Capitol on January 6th, they want to cancel you and send the FBI to your house in order to let you know, don't you ever dare come together again. Don't you ever dare think that you're going to be able to protest together mm-hmm. again, because that's what it is. It's instilling a fear. We're now even talking to other conservatives. People don't want to go to events because the idea is like, is this going to be another trap? Is it going to be another
J6? Are you going to get attacked by Antifa?
Correct.
You know, we're lucky here that there's like really no Antifa presence. It's funny because I drove by the school board meeting last Thursday and there was literally five Antifa protesters right across the street, masked, looking like complete idiots. But with that being said, we also found out, aside from Gays Against Groomers, Moms for Liberty National, their national chapter, was locked out of Twitter account, whatever their Twitter account, this week and for this tweet. It says, gender dysphoria is a mental health disorder that is being normalized by predators across the United States. California kids are at extreme risk from predatory adults. Now they want to liberate children all over the country. Does a double mastectomy on a preteen sound like progress? So, you know, I don't know if you guys know that, the people listening to this, but gender dysphoria, the definition for gender dysphoria was changed from being a mental health disorder, and they completely changed it. Much like, just like they've changed the definition of a recession, just like they've changed the definition of natural immunity, they just change the science whenever they want. They put it on the media, they push it, and then we're supposed to accept it. So now, with the whole gender dysphoria, I guess if you call it a mental health disorder, you get locked out of Twitter, okay? But that's not enough. Moms for Liberty's PayPal was also banned, or their funds were actually withheld by PayPal. And I don't necessarily know their excuse. I think they said
so
it
they
was...
So they claim it's... So the ESG, and let me tell you guys a little bit about the ESG, right? So the ESG is the Environmental, social, and corporate governance is an approach to evaluating the extent to which a corporation works on behalf of social goals. So basically what they're doing is that financial institutions, whether it be banks, credit card companies, the bigger like funding companies, things of that nature, are making decisions of who they accept as clients based off what their social and political
views are. It's like a social credit score.
It's a social credit score at its core.
Yeah.
So if your company stands for the wrong political ideology, then they can choose not to do business with you. But the problem is that we're talking about very essential services that most individuals need. Moms for Liberty, just like anybody else, needs a bank account.
They're a 501(c)(4), I think. So they're, I think, like a nonprofit or something like that. But either way, this has been happening for years. I mean, it first started with like the Alex Jones of the world, the Laura Loomers of the world and stuff like that. But now we're talking about advocacy groups for moms from the conservative side. And of course, they're getting hit by these tech giants or whatever you want to call them. As a result, Governor DeSantis later last week, where he declared that Florida was going to fight against these woke companies that discriminate against people over their religious or political views. And it's something that we've been saying for the longest time, that at a state level, obviously, we're not going to get this at a federal level because Joe Biden's president. But at a state level, governors and legislatures need to fight against these companies. And it's unfortunate because we keep growing the government. We're having to pass all these legislations to keep companies from doing so, which is kind of like, to me, against the principle of like conservatism and less government. But it's like, it's not enough. Like, when are you guys going to stop? If we don't do this, then you're just going to have a two-tier system where if you say something that somebody doesn't like online, that you can't be on PayPal, you can't be on Twitter, you can't have banking. They've taken people out of Chase before.
They've taken banking out of Bank of America, out of Chase. They've locked people out of Cash Apps, Venmos, all financial institutions. So what DeSantis basically says is that he will be revisiting through, he's going to be proposing legislation for the 2023 legislative session that will prohibit banks, credit card companies, and money transmitters from discriminating against customers for their religious, political, or social beliefs. Prohibit the state board administration fund managers from considering ESG, which is what I just spoke up about, the environmental factors when investing the state's money. So apparently this is even something that we need to worry about at a state money because at a state level. And then require that SBA fund managers to only consider maximizing the return of investment on behalf of Florida retirees. So it's like, now we're not even looking at, like, if you're a business, you're financial professional, and you're looking at a company that could potentially benefit the citizens of Florida in general, something that could bring money into the state. That's not enough. What they're looking at, is this a social justice cause? Because if it isn't, then we don't want it here.
Isn't it funny how Antifa is able to be on GoFundMe, on PayPal, on Cash App, on Venmo, to fundraise against their
cause.
What they all live off. And in fact, recently there was another Chaz zone over in some forest in Georgia. And I saw it myself. I actually reported it because why not? They were fundraising their little anarchist paradise through GoFundMe.
Yep. Conservatives aren't even allowed to be on GoFundMe.
They're not. I think they even shut down Candace Owens one time.
Your case doesn't even have to be something that's relative to politics. If you've got like a hater somewhere who's going to email them and be like, hey, this person has some controversial views when it comes to the
groomers,
whatever. They'll ban you and they'll take away your GoFundMe from that.
Yeah. So, you know, we wanted actually. Something else that they should look into is Twitter. I've been saying for a very long time, and we experience it ourselves, that Twitter is a paradise for political persecution, for online political persecution. For the past 4 or 5 years, they have allowed these anonymous Antifa accounts to run wild, dox people, intimidate, harass, and just, it's a free-for-all. And it's something that needs to be addressed, that the GOP needs to take into consideration, that Florida legislature, Governor DeSantis, we need to make noise and make sure that they know what's going on, because we can do the same.
No, we can't. And I think that it just goes back. You know, I know that the idea has been tossed around in the past about a digital bill of rights, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how are our rights protected on the digital space? Because they always fall back into, well, Twitter's a private company, so they can choose to act. But we're living in an age where the digital field is just as important as the room that we walk in and day out, especially as we start seeing more of a push for people to transition into a metaverse. But there's this societal push to push us more into this metaverse type of reality, while at the same time letting us know the metaverse is only going to be open to one group of people.
Absolutely. I saw something else last week, and I can't remember the person who tweeted it out, but I do know that they said something like, Twitter, get your lawyers ready, because we have documents or leaked internal documents between the CDC and Twitter about, you know, banning whoever spread misinformation about COVID, etc. So it's like what we've been saying. This is all state-owned media, you know. Right. We talk about the Chinese and the Russian propaganda, but I you know, Ron Paul said it best very recently. There's no bigger spreader of propaganda than the U.S., than Washington, D.C. So, you know, speaking of the Chinese... Oh, our girl. Please pull up the
The meme.
The meme.
Okay, let's put up this.
this is probably a meme that should be placed in a museum of memes. Whenever, you know, I hope that 1,000 years from now they find
Nancy
her digital
Pelosi
profiles
and her milk jugs. What a lady Nancy Pelosi is. So Nancy Pelosi decided to defy every possible security measure that could exist and flew into Taiwan today against the advice of first of all, threats coming in directly from the Chinese Communist Party, saying that they were going to
shoot her plane down
if it came in, that they were going to do drills around Taiwan.
Yeah. There's videos actually showing Chinese military, like, executing military drills with, like, tanks and stuff like that.
She was advised against going by the Biden administration. So this is a matter of national security at this point. I got a phone call from my dad, which was hysterical. I wish that I could play that. He calls me. He's like, ahora van a empezar con la Nancy Pelosi a ponerla como la caballota y la potra. Meaning that it's all optics to make Nancy Pelosi seem like this
some badass,
social justice,
like,
badass
Thatcher
warrior that's going to Taiwan to fight for the independence of the Taiwanese people. And the truth is that Nancy Pelosi is really just going out there to meet up with some chip manufacturers.
Yeah.
As you know,
it's over her investments, dude.
It's over her own investment. we're about to step into a really dark time, because for all of you that don't know, because of the problem with the supply chain that we're currently having, these chips that are created in China and then brought to the States are not there. And what's the problem? The chips might not sound like a lot, but the problem is that your cell phones operate off these chips. Your dishwasher operates off these chips. Your cars operate off these chips. So everything that you can imagine, TVs, so on and so forth, as far as electronics goes, are controlled by these chips that are only created in China. And now, because of the supply chain issue, we're going to start stepping into dark times where it's going to become a lot harder to find these things that were normally just very readily available.
Yeah.
So Nancy Pelosi, international media is all over Nancy Pelosi defying the Communist Party of China in order to be able to go into Taiwan and stand in unison for the democracy of Taiwan.
The Taiwanese. This is actually what one of the Chinese state officials said on Twitter. He says, Pelosi is in Singapore and will fly to South Korea en route to Taiwan after visiting Malaysia. The PLA has clearly been well prepared. If she dares to stop in Taiwan, it will be the moment to ignite the powder keg of the situation in the Taiwan Straits. So the Chinese are not very happy with our beloved Nance.
It's a challenge of them, because if they're saying, if you come here, we're going to shoot down, what you're doing is you're creating a world crisis.
What happens
if the Chinese government actually shoots down Pelosi? They're always trying them.
Yeah, they're
and
always
that's the
trying
problem.
Them. Yeah. And trying, you know, the Russians, they're just always trying them. But we'll see how that goes. I saw a hilarious meme by the typical liberal that's like a guy getting ready with, like, popcorn. He's like, What was he say? He's like, me getting ready to watch World War III because some old lady decided to go handle her investments or was pissed off about her investments and stuff like that. So,
oh, Nancy, thank you so much for setting off World War III or not. I don't really know what's going to happen, but it sounds completely insane. And clearly, there's a lot of noise coming that, you know, there is a lot of propaganda involved, even like on the Taiwan side coming out of with this visit. So it's clearly all
optics,
media, get attention. What they're getting ready to put up Nancy Pelosi for as some idea. Super kawaiiota, like power. My dad called her today. I guess that we'll have to wait and see. But
you know what else? Speaking of propaganda, really quick, I was on Twitter the other day and I searched like Ukraine. I honestly have not been following up at all on the Russia-Ukraine situation for the past like month. But for some reason, I decided to do so, and I ran into a video of a concert, right, and where it's now Russian-controlled territory. And people are super happy. They're enjoying themselves. They're having, like, it's just, like, normal. Like, normal life is going on in what's now Russian-controlled territory of Ukraine. And, you know, people are commenting and saying, like, well, what's this? Like, I thought you guys said, like, these people were like pissed off and oppressed and like, you know, under the iron fists of Vladimir Putin. And it's like people enjoying themselves raging at a concert.
So you know, I don't know if you saw that there was actually a New York Times article that dropped earlier on. I want to say it was on Monday, where the Biden administration is actually commenting how they're not putting their full trust in Zelensky anymore. And that they have doubt. So it looks like they're gearing up to start making their distance.
But they just gave him a Vogue photo shoot for him and the First Lady.
Yeah, well, I mean, apparently, you know, I mean, that's the least of it. They just gave him billions and they of just our tax
actually
dollars.
Today, they announced that they were going to give him like 500 more millions or billions or whatever.
They'll find another way of washing the money. You know how it goes. But it definitely, they're gearing up to something because it's not the headline of the article.
Yeah.
But it very much in there, there's a statement made by the Biden administration that they're not very happy with the current state of Ukraine.
I mean,
and that they're having doubts about the relationship with Zelensky and whether where his intentions could potentially
be. So this war started back in April, right? Yeah. And I was doing a lot of posts on my story debunking the propaganda that was happening about the grandmas and the sunflowers and the ghost of Kiev and all these things. Like some of the propaganda that was actually being passed around the internet were from movie scenes. Like that's how bad it was. Obviously, you had a lot of people pissed off, especially Ukrainians who were acting like liberals. Oh, even if it's propaganda, like shit is still going down and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, well, my job as a citizen journalist or as a, you know, whatever social media person is to debunk, not my job, but like, it's like what I like to do is like debunk the propaganda. And one of the things that they kept saying, especially I remember for Dan Crenshaw, the biggest rhino of them all, was that the Russians were losing the war, that they were losing, I don't know how many soldiers per day, that they could not fight at night, that this was going to be an easy cake. And what we're finding out right now is that it was actually the opposite, where Ukrainian soldiers are still dying every single day, where they're not winning the war, where the Russians gained all this territory. So for all these months, they convinced the American people, and obviously the Ukrainian people too, we feel for them, that this was going to be an easy win for them because the U.S. was backing them up. People are not understanding that Putin is not just, they're beating NATO.
Yep.
Like, they don't want to say it. They can't say it. It's going to look so bad on them. But this is a fight in a war against NATO, and the Russians are winning it. Mm-hmm. So, so that's pretty interesting. In pop culture, our girl, honestly, been pro Shakira and her tax evasion or tax fraud.
I'm for it. She just like notched up like seven.
Yeah, like I was like here with her and now she came like here. So our girl Shakira may go to jail. So the Spanish authorities are actually accusing her of failure to pay taxes for the last like
eight years. It was an 8-year span dating from 2014.
Yeah. So they're accusing her of tax fraud. She faces up to 8 years in prison because she failed to pay nearly $15 million in taxes. And prosecutors said that they would also seek a fine of $24.5 million.
She says she's going to let the courts handle it.
She said that?
Yeah. She says she's going to let the courts handle it, that she doesn't really have to make a defense for herself, that she's going to let, that she has faith that justice is going to prevail.
Imagine the communist, socialist government of Spain coming after you because you don't give enough taxes to them. So they can lock you down like they did and force you to wear a mask outside to freaking walk your dog.
The worst part is, imagine like the ego involved in that, right? Because the only reason that she was in Spain was because of hubby.
Oh, PK.
And now rode out on her. And now she's stuck with taxes from Spain. Yep. Like, I'd be so mad. Yeah. Like, man, like, screw your country.
Honestly, I'm one of those people that I don't blame people for tax fraud because taxation is theft. And then they use it to fund, like, gender studies for kids or like, foreign. Give Pakistan, like, women's studies so they can liberate themselves. Like, I am not for it at all. And I hope our girl, you know, I hope that we don't have to get her out of there like El Chapo in a little cart.
She's got a lot more fans about this. I've been seeing the memes of the dudes like, oh, when I found out that Shakira was in it, was evading taxes, and it's like up 10 notches.
Absolutely.
Shakira is definitely taking the win on that. And let's go on to
Miami-Dade news.
News in Miami-Dade.
Miami-Dade news. So we have really
very exciting, very exciting stuff coming out of Miami-Dade for Republicans. We've definitely gotten a win. So over the last 30 days, the Democrats have lost 241 Hispanic voters.
Wow.
And Republicans have gained 2,409 voters this month alone. Suck it. I want to see you guys try and beat us when it comes down to election time come November.
Absolutely. We've been seeing the trend.
Absolutely.
And it's important to remind people that immediately after the 2020 elections, they started targeting the Latino voters who really helped run, not just, well, we know what happened during the election. We can't talk about it. But really helped Trump win Florida. It was the South Florida vote that they were so focused on. What's happened after that is the amount of attacks against even us.
People of influence. It's anybody activists, that's got some kind of media, voice and influence, you know, in the media.
They have literally launched a full-on attack against Latinos because Latinos are flipping to the Republican side at a faster rate than any other minority. Yes, the majority of the Latino population still overwhelmingly votes for Democrat, but they have been losing. And every single time they do polls, Biden is down at a worse rating with the Latino population than any other race.
It was down to like a 30% something.
And then he went down even further.
I think I saw something like 18% the last time. I'd have to go back and check.
Remember that the majority of these Latinos that voted for Biden obviously did it because they hated Trump. There was a narrative created about him being racist, yada, 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 xenophobe and stuff like that. But now they're looking back and saying, dude, gas is up. Groceries are more expensive than ever. There's all these national security threats. You're trying to confuse children, and you have what's the name? Rachel Levine, who's a transgender woman, as the assistant health secretary, pushing and saying that gender puberty blockers should be available to all teens, in case they have the wrong puberty. So you're really not making a case for yourself with the Latino population. There's also, I found an interesting statistic the other day, and I can't say the exact number, but there's also a lot of Democrats that are pro-life. Yeah. I wouldn't say an overwhelming
amount.
It might be a very small minority. In fact, it was a few weeks ago when the whole Roe v. Wade was going on, where radical left-wing activists were attacking a church service somewhere in California. And the majority of the population there was a Latino population at church on a Sunday, many of them who do vote Democrat. So when these activists came in and started chanting and saying all these crazy things, you saw these Latino, people get up and say, hey, listen, we're with you. Like, we get it. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
but
this is not the time. So now you're attacking your own people at the church services and other places, you're going to have them say,
well, this is where the pushback is going to come back. And what we've always talked about, traditional Latino values have nothing to do with far left policy.
Nothing.
We believe in God. We believe in two genders. We love our two genders. Latinas love being
the Latinx and Latino is not working men out, love bro.
Being masculine men. No. So this, they're always going to come across a brick wall when they're trying to appeal to the Latino demographic, because you can only victimize people so far. Yeah. People are not going to feel victimized because they believe in God. Right. Or because they don't want their kids taking puberty blockers. That's not going to happen. So they're going to hit a block. So what is it that they're doing? It's happened, like you said, from the morning of November 4th, 2020, when Trump gained headway with the Latino vote down here in South Florida. We woke up in November 4th, and immediately there was an attack on Latinos down here in South Florida.
Well, let's give a shout out to Jenny Lee Molina really quick on that article that she wrote right after the 2020 election. So... yeah. So you guys know Jenny Lee Molina is a PR powerhouse here in South Florida. She's one of the people behind an anonymous Antifa page called Miami Anti-Fash, which has attacked everybody from the local GOP to us activists, Moms for Liberty.
To regular moms showing up at school board meetings.
Proud Boys, and then people that have no social media presence, like parents that just show up. Their entire job is actually to do this so that people get discouraged, dox them, whatever, get them fired.
She openly talks about it. How, number one, her job was to manage several social media accounts that basically fought misinformation. She talks about what a hard job it was, because whenever they got a narrative out there, 10 more pieces of disinformation would come out. But she goes on to say in the article how... The media, the conservative disinformers, if you will, have labeled Biden a communist in order to be able to appeal to the fear of people who have survived communism. We talked about this before. I take offense to this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there is trauma. My family escaped communism. My father was left an orphan after his father was assassinated for fighting against the Communist Party of Cuba. My grandmother spent 9 years in prison as a political prisoner for opposing the Castro regime. My father was left an orphan and forced out of his country. Stories like my family, including the story of Jenny Lee Molina, are many. And these people aren't acting out of an unconscious trauma. It's like, oh, you guys, that could never happen here. They're speaking, it's the voice of experience. They've seen the deterioration of their own countries.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that deterioration is what gives them the foresight, not trauma, to be able to see what direction this country is headed in. So since November 4th, the argument has been to discredit Latinos, particularly here in South Florida. Why? Because you have a huge number of Cubans, of Venezuelans, of Nicaraguans that understand communism, that fled communism, saw what it did to their families. So because they can't stop the blowback of basically selling communism to people that survived communism, they have to discredit the people that oppose it. They're like, oh, well, if you're opposing it, then you're just traumatized. Right. You don't really understand the way that the United States work. All you got to do is look at Joe Biden's policies. No, ma'am, I'm looking at Joe Biden's policies. It's precisely why I'm in fear of this country. Mm-hmm. I was that person. I was that real arrogant in American thinking. It's particularly as a first generation American, where I remember my parents telling me, what do you mean you're going to vote for Obama? Oh my God, my daughter's a communist. I'd be like, you guys are so extreme. I'm not a communist. I'm a Democrat. It's not the same thing. And saying, you guys are just traumatized. America has a constitution and a bill of rights, and that will never happen here. And yet here we are.
They're social justice warriors, and they're trying to redefine the entire Latino culture. So it's like, Our other friend Sonia Diaz says, it's like, well, everybody that I disagree with happens to be a fascist. You know, she loves calling us fascists for anything that, you know,
whoever disagrees with.
Something else that's happening in Miami, which I thought was funny, is that, not funny, but a little bit funny, is that the Miami, the city of Miami commission, they are approving tiny homes in Virginia Key, which is inside of Key Biscayne, for the homeless. And if you look at the majority of people that live in Key Biscayne, very affluent, mostly white.
So the residents of Key Biscayne are opposing this now.
Are pissed off because they're going to put all these homeless on their island, which is mostly Democrat, mostly populated by rich Democrats who don't want that there. So I find that to be funny, to be completely honest with you, because it's like, okay.
Well, predictable.
Well, predictable. This is exactly what happened in places like LA, where you have these rich, white, affluent voters, mostly Democrat, who feel bad for the transgenders and the blacks and Black Lives Matter and stuff like that. And now they're suffering the consequences of voting for these social justice commissioners, social justice mayors, district attorneys and stuff like that. Now they're having to get armed security. Now they're having to flee to other states because they completely ruined their city based on woke policies. So more to come on what's going to happen with that. I think that people are pushing back, but it's going to be pretty funny if they do dump all these homeless in their beautiful,
expensive, exclusive island. You get it's like the Joker meme. You get what you deserve. This is what you voted for. This is what you want. This is the problem with these policies that it's always like, oh, I want wide open borders open. Okay, cool. Open up your house. Open up your house. Let these immigrants stay in your house, nurse them for the first year of their life, provide for them. Oh, you're not willing to do that. You want the government to do that. Same thing where you want a place for them to shoot up heroin and give them free needles until it's happening in your backyard. Right. Until it's happening right in front of your house and your ritzy neighborhood. And then that's a problem.
Speaking of that, I have a video I just said and posted of a Portland resident. You know, it was a white woman. She's a Portland resident. And she says that she's sick and tired of the homeless problem because they're literally camping in their front lawns. And they really can't do anything about it because they get kicked out and then they come back. And she's just like, you know, she's over it. She's like, I'm completely over it. It's just getting out of control because these people are now no longer living somewhere in the middle of like downtown or on their own. It's like they're literally posting in front of your homes. You have all these homeless in front of your homes on your front lawn, your backyard, whatever. These people are going to start stealing. Yeah. You see what I mean? So it's just funny to see the reaction and the pushback now from what's mostly social justice warriors voters.
Dealing with the repercussions of their voting actions.
So we'll see what happens
there. We'll see where that goes. Miami is a very special place. We have an episode that we're planning out to talk about. Just, you know.
Exposing all of our enemies, exposing everybody that's been behind this Miami Antifa page. Some of you guys may have seen our last week. We were doing so. We got a lot of influencers and media behind it. I think over like 2 million impressions on Twitter alone. We're not done. You know, if our enemies are listening to this, we're not done. We've just been busy with other stuff in our life and whatnot. But we are coming to an end of this episode. It's going to be amazing what we have in store for you guys. I do want to ask that you please like, share, and subscribe once again. Help us grow. We have new merch.
Check out the merch store. Support Far Right Latina Summer.
Far Right Latino Summer as well.
Our production that we pay completely out of pocket. We're not funded by the deep state or the Illuminati like some of the other podcasters out there. We have to pay for everything out of our own blood, sweat, and tears. So if you can show some kindness, check out the merch. It's actually super fly.
Super cute.
Yeah, super cute. And
we'll be back next week.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.